Well, hello and welcome to today's podcast.
Oh, yes. The
after
podcast.
Bit of the allotment show. It's just so magical up here. And I feel truly inspired to get home and start growing something because actually, if you don't have an allotment, it is fairly simple, according to Tanya, to get something going on your windowsill.
Well, it is. And if you go to our Facebook and YouTube, there are various videos up there, partly from the broadcast live this afternoon, and partly also we just did an extra little video about how you can actually grow basil. Because, of course, those supermarket basils that you tend to buy, they always just seem to die off no matter what you do. There's a good reason why they die off, and Tanya explained why and also told us how we can do it. So we've given Beth a little project and she's going to have to grow some before we next come back up here next month.
Really looking forward to it, actually. But Tanya, we didn't actually explore the whole allotment that you've got here. So can you show us some of the other things you're growing?
Well, I wanted to show you the rhubarb in particular. So I've got a rhubarb plant here that you can see it's just starting to grow. And they've got a little bit of stem and leaves. I'm going to leave that because that needs to grow and you know, you harvest it when it's its normal size. But this year, I forced some rhubarb and I need to pick the very last of it before I let that plant rebound.
You forced some rhubarb? That
what
sounds
does
a little
that
bit
mean?
Yes, it does. But it's actually, it creates a really sweet rhubarb that's bright red, super tender for early spring dessert.
It looks amazing.
And what that forcing means is that you give the rhubarb a condition, so a dark, slightly warmer condition, and it makes it think that it's a little bit warmer, a little bit later in the season, and then it starts growing, and it stretches towards what it thinks is the light source. So it gets really long stems, bright red, and I've got it under a bin, actually, up here. So
just while we're heading up there, I should just admit to what I just did. The reason I said, gosh, it looks amazing, is because we were in the process of walking past something that was probably either chard or beetroot, I'm not entirely sure, but it had red
chard.
Ruby chard, and I thought it was the beetroot,
the rhubarb,
which is why I said, oh, it looks amazing.
That's okay.
I'm a brilliant gardener, me.
It's fine, it's early days.
So you can see here, there's a little bit of rhubarb that's actually started growing out the side here. But
is this the big reveal for you, Tanya?
Oh, this is amazing. Look at all this rhubarb.
That is definitely rhubarb.
Oh, I'm hoping we've got some. Oh, Ben's taking some photos, so I'll put the photos online so you can see this.
So this is quite late for forced rhubarb. I'm going to pick all of this and leave the bin off of it now. And so you can do this every 2 years. You can put a forcing pot. You can get really beautiful terracotta ones, or you can just use a bin like I'm using. And it forces the plant to grow like this. And then you leave it alone for 2 years and then you can do it again. So next year it'll just be ordinary rhubarb that I can pick as well.
How do you even know how to do this, Tanya? How did you learn about all of these things?
When you become interested in anything, and gardening included, you just try to absorb as much information as you can. And also, this is the stuff that's sold in the shops. And it's absolutely a fortune earlier on in the year. There's the Yorkshire rhubarb triangle that specializes in this type of a crop. But when you do it yourself, it costs nothing.
And it doesn't taste any different to when you sort of grow it the normal way.
It does. It's a lot more. It's not tart like rhubarb is. It's a lot sweeter, much more tender. And it has that lovely colour that makes a really nice compote and other desserts.
Ooh, and I'm sure she'll be making stuff with that. That's something we should maybe ask Georgie about when we're up at the cook shack.
Ooh, that's a really
good idea. Is
doing
stuff with rhubarb. That could be our challenge for Georgie.
That's going to be your one, actually.
I know what you would like. Rhubarb wine.
Oh, she knows us too well. There you go. So we'll have basil for our pasta, and then we'll have rhubarb wine to go with it. Yeah.
So since we're here, Tanya, I wondered if I could pick your gardening brain about something.
Sure.
Can we head to the potting shed over there? And actually, first of all, before we do that, you know, we were talking about the fact there are some plots available. If anybody was interested, you have 10 or so available potentially out here. Do you have to invest in all the really expensive tools and stuff?
We actually have a little store of tools that don't have owners here. So if anyone wanted to take a couple of those to start them off, they can, you know, crack on with that. But in reality, you only need a few tools to get you started. You need a good spade, a good garden fork, I would say a Dutch hoe, and I guess just muscle power.
Okay. And while we were here as well, while we were doing the basil video, which you can see online, did spot someone who came down to collect some rhubarb from his own plot. And this is a lovely story because actually this is something you could consider doing. I think his plot was a gift, wasn't it?
It was a special circumstance. I made sure beforehand that he was, you know, someone who would be really interested in having a plot, but it was a, I think it was a birthday gift.
Oh, how and lovely.
Yeah.
And he's enjoyed it ever since.
Yes.
So there you go, that's something you could get for your loved ones, is you could actually get them a plot, and that could start them on a whole new life and also feed you and your family, which is always good.
So we're inside the shed now, and I brought with me a present that I received from our Sarah Hendy, which I might have mentioned during the show, and this was lovely actually. This was something that's quite readily available. It's a sort of grow your own sweet pea. I'm going to be honest here, threw the seeds in, covered it over and thought nothing's going to happen. But actually some magic has happened in that pot. And I remember taking a photograph of when they first popped through.
A couple of shoots.
Yeah, because it's actually grown, Tanya.
Yes, of course they're going to grow.
I've never grown anything. Honestly, I killed a cactus, right? I don't know if I should admit that, but I really did. And so this is like a little bit of magic.
Do you feel really proud?
I am stupidly proud.
Oh, she is proud. We had to watch the photos. They're like children for her. She brought them in with little sort of increments saying, look, they're getting bigger. But she's done well. They do look quite healthy.
Yeah, they look really healthy and they will continue to grow in here. I checked the bottom of the pot. It does have a drainage hole. That's important because you need to have water, a way for water to get out. And what you could do with this is give it something to grow on, because these will get quite tall.
Do you mean like sort of poles of some description?
Yeah, you could get a couple of bamboo poles. I might actually even thin this out, so take some of the weaker plants out.
What? You're going to get rid of some?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't do it myself, but I'll leave it to you.
Okay. You're going to pick the ones that you uproot.
Remember the basil.
Yeah.
And the basil didn't have enough space to grow. This is quite a small pot. So I would say selecting just three strong ones and then plucking the other ones out.
Oh, okay. That's going to break a heart, Tanya.
You know, let it grow a little bit longer, okay, just so that you can identify it. And the other thing that you should do that seems completely counterintuitive is to pinch off the tops. And what that does is it encourages bushier growth, so you get more flowers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, how lovely. So actually, you've got to be quite brave to be a good gardener.
Yes.
Because it feels like you're sort of killing things in order to make them grow.
when I first started growing, I'll be honest, I felt guilty in actually picking the veg to eat.
I kind of get that though, because you kind of cultivated something and you think, oh, right, okay. So if I put the bamboo just literally next to it, do I have to tie it to it or just...
Normally you would grow sweet peas in a pot that's a little bit bigger. This will do if you just have a couple of plants. Okay. And you can either get a little structure that's maybe flat with like interwoven... kind of a lattice, or you could put a couple of sticks or, you know, little bamboo
canes
sticks in there, canes,
sort.
Tie them at the top and give them something to grow on, because these are climbers. Look how tall they are already.
So you've got two things to come back with next month, Beth.
Oh, you know.
The basil that we're going to try and grow from supermarket basil, and then also your sweet peas, an update on the sweet peas.
Right. Well, I think we need a little challenge for you, CDH.
Well, it's probably going to be a bit lengthy to go into it now, so I might save it for next time. But let's just say it involves gin and flavouring the gin, but with things that you grow yourself. So I'm very much looking forward to that. So I'll bring mine along for next time and Tanya can tell me how to do that.
It's been absolutely wonderful spending the afternoon here, Tanya. Just remind people how they can get in touch and follow you and see what you're up to.
Yeah, just have a look for the Laxey Allotment on Facebook. And if you're interested in Lovely Greens, look for Lovely Greens. It's also lovelygreens.com. And I have a popular YouTube video or YouTube channel that you might want to check out. Lots of gardening tips and tours of the allotment that you'll be interested in. So if you didn't get enough today, you'll have plenty over there.
One very final question. I found a packet of seeds in the back of a drawer, literally. I don't know how old they are. Do seeds go out of date?
They do eventually, but some seeds will stay viable for longer. The best way to know if they're going to grow is to put them in some compost and see what happens.
Eek, magic in a pot.
Simple as that. She makes it all sound so easy, doesn't she? Well, I think we're already excited to be back here next month. Tanya, it's been an absolute joy speaking to you and finding out all about this. And don't forget, if you've got any questions for Tanya for next month, then all you need to do is email latelunch@manxradio.com. Beth, you need to take care of those sweet peas now.
I'm going to have to be brutal. I'm going to have to do it. Okay.
Yeah,
some of you are going to have to go.